Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shador fans do not want the Cleveland Browns to give Shador a fair shot.
And with Shane Bieber on his way out, had me thinking, hey, what about that 2020 Cy Young season and really the COVID year as a whole in sports?
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
COVID!
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
Nah, I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
You gotta stop bringing this stuff to my attention. It's unbelievable.
What's the issue?
Unbelievable.
The hate you're getting from the Shador Sanders community?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, we all understand. It's freaking training camp. These people feel...
It's unbelievable to
these me. Shador national fans feel like he's being given no chance. They can't believe he wasn't a first-round pick.
Yeah.
They can't believe he slid to the fifth. I guarantee when the Browns took him, they're like, oh, crap. Like, they were happy he got drafted, but I'm sure they were like, oh, no. Because they saw the writing on the wall. The Browns have 2 first-round picks next year. So that didn't bode well for the future of Shador Sanders. So if you are in the Shador Sanders business, you're a member of the Shador Sanders hive, what would they call it? What would the buffaloes be? What would they call it?
The
pack? Are they a pack of buffaloes?
Yes.
A herd of buffaloes.
I have to understand.
Yes, if you are part of the Shador Sanders herd, yeah, you feel like he's not being given a shot. And then when the coach comes out and says it's a fair competition, but then the only guy not really getting any first-team reps with the first team against the first team is their guy.
I get why they
are incensed right now.
I have to understand that this fight was going on long before he became a Cleveland Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just fans that are addicted to the argument, and they just don't like that. I've been around this organization for 14 years, and they don't want... They do everything they can. The guy is a good guy. They're doing everything they can, and they want him to be the... They would love for him to be the franchise quarterback. Would love it. And by the way, if it doesn't work out, this stuff is just going to be yelled at. I'm going to get yelled at about this stuff, too.
Yeah, of course. So, I don't know.
Because they'll just blame it on the Browns if it doesn't
work. I guess
and by the way, they may very well might, but they're not doing it to hurt him.
That is the difference between maybe me and these types of fans. Maybe they don't have an NFL team or they root for multiple NFL teams. But I don't think I've ever been a quarterback first guy where I love a quarterback so much that I'm going to argue for him. I'm going to argue against everybody else. Like, I like watching. In fact, I love watching Lamar Jackson play football. But, you know, he's on a division rival. He's on the Ravens. I am enamored with watching him play in the regular season. And then I watch him in the playoffs, and I'm like, oh, there are guys better than him. So I don't know how he's going to fix this. His team's good enough, so it's not like their team's not good enough. But I don't think I will ever be a quarterback-first guy. Like, we have the Baker Mayfield fans that just left the Browns and now they're with Tampa Bay. I am that way in the NBA. I love Kyrie Irving. I love watching him play. I will watch him wherever he goes. He could be on the worst team in the league. He can be on the best team in the league. I will argue for him even when it's stupid to do so. So I do that with NBA guys. I do not do it with NFL guys. Do you do it? Owen, do you do it with NFL guys? Ken, do you do it with NFL guys that
no.
you, Whoa, you'll become... Because this is what happens with the Baker fans, with any of the fans of players like this. You'll become apologists for that player no matter what. you will use an excuse.
There's a couple guys, but it's tough because I know him personally, and so there's always like the best thing about having you around and Owen around is there's a system of checks and balances. So if I just did a podcast by myself and that's it, who knows what things I would say to cover the truth up for myself. I really like Wyatt Teller a lot personally. There will come a day where Wyatt Teller can't go anymore. And like, there's guys like you are like, hey man, I don't like saying this, but maybe Wyatt Teller Kenny is maybe he's getting too old and this, that, and the other. Like Joel Bitonio, Joe Thomas, same thing. DeWand is, I can already see is on that level.
Oh.
Where I hope that this year is a big year for him, and I could imagine someday that I'm hoping and imagining that he will be a 10-year veteran in this league, and that we will talk about, okay, well, how much longer can he be a veteran in this league at his size, where he's lost a lot of weight, but he is also 6'8", and it's hard on a body like that. It was hard. I mean, Joe played 10 straight years, and that was it. So there's always a system of checks and balances there. If I know a guy personally, it's hard for me to judge their performance and say that they can't do it. So,
but the NBA is supposed to be, the NFL is supposed to be different from the NBA in that it's not supposed to be about the name on the back of the jersey. It's supposed to be about the name on the front.
Yes.
So how do we account for the Shador fandom right now? Were these people that are coming to us, we see the numbers. People are coming from all over the country to get a slice of the Shador talk.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it because we're not saying and screaming that the Browns should be starting him in the preseason and starting week one. Uh-huh. Because of that, we're feeling the wrath. Do you think those fans of Shador are not team oriented? They don't root for NFL teams the way that we do?
No, they don't. No.
So they root for guys not. like who was their guy before Shador?
Because
Shador is new. I mean,
our first real taste of this was Odell. Didn't the one guy get his autograph tattooed on his arm? The Odell? Keith's
in
here.
So, yeah.
Keith, do you remember that? Does Keith not want to discuss anything? Oh, he's checking
levels
and stuff. Wasn't there like a guy who was like an Odell fan? He said he wasn't a Giants fan. Like, they were at the preseason game, and he had like an Odell tattoo, and he's like, I'm a Browns fan as long as Odell's here. Yeah, there was like a guy who is like, I'm an Odell fan. I am not a fan of the
Browns. And before Odell, because Baker came here before Odell, I don't know how many guys I grew up with that had Baker Mayfield Browns jerseys. Had Browns jerseys on, and it was because of Baker Mayfield. And as soon as he left, they were gone. I know a guy that lives locally that bought a Carolina jersey, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they bought Carolina jerseys. I don't think they bought LA jerseys, but they're all Bucks fans now.
But there were a lot of those people, and you're right about that in particular situation. Well, that guy still considers himself a Browns fan. Well, who knows what he considers himself a fan of, to be honest with you. I mean, there was a 3-year period where he considered himself a fan of another team.
Well, political party.
You got him pretty upset that one day about that. But there were definitely like Oklahoma fans who are still Oklahoma fans, but Baker's their guy. But they will like Dylan Gabriel didn't finish with Oklahoma, so you know that is what it is. Jalen Hurts, maybe they like Jalen Hurts. Maybe they're defensive of Jalen Hurts because he's an Oklahoma guy. Who's current Oklahoma quarterback?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay,
I don't. I play the game on Sundays.
Somebody's got to. Why am I drawing a blank?
Who is it, Joey?
Is it Mateer? John Mateer?
Yeah, John Mateer. Thank you. Yeah, it's John Mateer.
I was going to say that too. Joey just beat me to it.
So, John Mateer, like, if John Mateer goes out and has a really good season, they'll be big John Mateer fans, and they'll be
living in
our mentions. Why? How dare you go after John Mateer? I think that we're going to see more of this because there's going to be more guys flipping around. I think we will have more guys who have their own fan bases instead of the Oklahoma fan base coming after you for saying something about their quarterback. I think you'll have more of that. Joe Burrow won his Heisman Trophy at LSU. How many Ohio State fans claim Joe Burrow?
And you know what? I was excited to see him. I've seen him. You know, I saw him go to the Super Bowl. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to be invested in the Joe Burrow business for the next however many years that he's in Cincinnati. I do like watching him play.
Yeah.
There's a difference between, like, I like watching Josh Allen play. Yeah. Guess what? I like watching the top 5 quarterbacks all play. Mm-hmm. But I am not going to ever put that ahead of anything else. And I'm not going to sit there and make excuses for the guys when it doesn't go well, which is what's going to happen with Shador. Because I could see how this probably will go. I'll give you a roadmap. This is probably how it'll go. He's probably going to start the season. They're probably going to get rid of Kenny Pickett or whatever, or Joe Flacco. But they're going to get rid of one of those guys. And then Shador Sanders is going to be, you know, the third quarterback out of three. I don't know. Is that are you on the roster at that point, or are you practice squad? Or what?
You might not be. You're on the roster. I don't know.
Okay. So I know they changed it.
If you're the third guy, you can dress.
Okay. So that'll be him. And the Browns will probably be bad this year. And he'll probably get an opportunity to start come, what would you say, November?
Yes.
Maybe December. Unless the Browns are really good this year. Okay.
Or it could be an October surprise.
Could be an October surprise. But in the end, the Browns are probably going to take a quarterback the following year. And then you're going to be really mad.
Mm-hmm.
The Shador people listening right now are going to be incensed. They're going to say, whatever happens, no matter how good or how bad, but in this case, bad, no matter how bad he looks in this hypothetical, because the Browns are going to take quarterback the next year, they are going to put that at the doorstep of the Cleveland Browns, the front office, the coaching staff, the media. We're then going to be accused of running them out or not giving them a chance. Although there probably will be some vocal people locally that want him to get a chance, but then he'll get a chance. And how well would he have to perform?
I'm going to want him to get a chance.
But how well would he seriously have to perform for us to sit there and say, we have two first-round picks and we are not taking a quarterback? Man, he'd have to be amazing. Would he have to be better than Baker was his first year?
He has to make us wonder, what if he would have started at the beginning of
the year. Would he have to be better than what Baker was the year of the fridge, the victory fridge, the probably, rookie year?
Probably.
Then
at least.
He was rookie of the year, wasn't he? Offensive
no.
rookie of the
year. Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why's Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saquon was,
that's right.
But he did set the rookie passing touchdown mark, which was eclipsed by Justin Herbert.
You see what I'm saying? It would have to be an amazing season from the moment he takes over. And to that regard, I guess what I'm saying is he kind of is set up for failure here. And I know that flies counter to what you've been saying, Ken, about they'll give him a fair shot eventually. They're not going to set him up for failure. But that one year timeline is really tough for him. It's tough because they got to squeeze it in, or he's just a backup, or that's going to be his lot in life with the Browns. But will he accept that? He'll accept anything right now. A year from now, will he accept that? When other teams are going to need quarterbacks and we're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. Like, it's a tough team for him to be on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I it's weird. I think it's as open of an opportunity. But because of the two first-round picks that you have next year, he has to prove a lot. But again, my answer, and I know you gave yours, but my answer was just very, very short and very succinct. He's got to make us wonder, what if he would have started at the beginning of the year? If he's so good throughout an eight-game season, say he starts the final eight games and he plays well, and you go, well, like, remember when Francisco Lindor didn't get called up, and you were like, well, if he would have been brought up 10 games earlier,
they might have made the playoffs.
Had they made the playoffs that year, I think that you have to have the same conversation about Shador. And if you can have that conversation and truly believe it, then, yeah, maybe you pass up on a quarterback. We also have to see next year's draft class. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that we think that it's going to make this a much deeper draft class at quarterback, which means a lot more quarterbacks are going to go higher than what happened this last year. Of course, I don't know if you can get much lower on this last draft class. But you're going to have a lot more guys who seem like they're going to go higher. But if he plays that well, maybe you're willing to roll the dice on that future and see where he goes on that. Because you could still, if you approach the playoffs with him as a quarterback, I bet you keep everybody. I bet you keep Kevin and Andrew. And that might not be what people want to hear, but that's probably the truth. Because if he were to play well, why do I want to mess with that? I don't want to mess with Kevin Stefanski playing well. If Shedeur Sanders is playing well with Kevin Stefanski, I don't think people are going to want to mess with that. So there's still a lot at stake, and there's still a lot of up for grabs for this. What else were we going to talk about on the pod?
I asked you about, because a couple things happened. We had
Why do people always think that I want a Twinkie? I hate stereotypes.
But Twinkies to go to?
I don't like Twinkies.
The funny thing is,
I don't like them.
The two of us pretty much like all the same food.
I like Ho-Hos. I don't like Twinkies. The stereotypes are very bad when it comes to fat.
I wanted to ask you, looking back, what do we do with the 2020 Shane Bieber Cy Young Award?
Oh, that's right.
And the reason I ask it is because now the LeBron title, according to Daryl Morey, we should play that audio if we can find it tomorrow. Daryl Morey is saying nobody really takes the 2020 bubble championship with any kind of lore. It's a forgotten championship. I mean, it counts in LeBron's total, but I've seen people say, no, LeBron doesn't have LeBron doesn't have four titles. He has 3.5.
I know they used what was most of the regular season as like a seeding thing, right? Before they went into that playoff for the bubble title. But at least they played a full season. Shane Bieber played how many games that year?
He had 14 starts.
It was 12. A 60-game season. He had 12 wins. He might have had more starts than that, but yeah.
There's a story behind all seasons like this. It's like if you were upset that the 87 Washington football team did not get their rings because for 3 weeks there were scab players, or the scab players didn't get their rings. If you were upset about that, okay, why are you upset? Well, they're part of the history. Okay, then I guess a 60-game season is part of the history. Because, I mean, you're missing 100 games, and really you're missing. This is going to sound like such a loser's lament since he's gone now. He's still a wonderful pitcher, and he would have been the number one here had he not been hurt. He probably still wouldn't even have been here had he not been hurt.
Oh, that's true.
So this is not to knock Shane Bieber whatsoever. The trophy is still the trophy. They didn't give him a smaller trophy or anything like that. He's been wonderful, and I really do wish him success. I never met the guy, but from everything I've heard, he's pleasant.
One of our huge arguments was about his
the All-Star game.
Yep,
and whether or not that would. Oh man! And then I did a very strong champion's pose on you. So we like to use these things to our advantage. If you're missing 102 baseball games, you're missing a big part of what makes the baseball season unique. Because it's supposed, when you're going into 60 games, then yeah, you can almost react like you do with the tight time of a Browns football season or a college football season, really. And I just don't think that's the right thing to do. So if you're missing 102 games, that's how many starts do they usually have in a season? 30? As a number one pitcher in a rotation, around 30 starts out of 160?
40.
We've had 30 game winners.
Well,
it's been
a long
time.
If you're missing 20-plus starts, who knows what happens in 20-plus starts? So for the season, it's a fine accomplishment, but you don't put it up there with Cliff or CC Sabathia.
Even though he also had the triple crown,
or
pitching triple crown.
Yeah, you don't put him with those guys. So as nice as it is, you really can't do that.
Yeah, I was looking back because I saw Bomani Jones was taking the stance that all the sports counted that year. It all counts. We all watched it. And I said, I think that's what's crazy about the NBA bubble that year is that nobody watched it. I went back, and there's a big reason why. Did you know that at the same time we had the NFL football season going on, we had the NBA finals going on, and we had Major League Baseball playoffs, and college football was a week later, got started a week later? I think that is incredible. So we had everything kind of going on at the same time, and that's not even to say like what was going on in hockey. I don't even remember. So all that was going on at the same time, and that NBA finals was the least watched ever. Not in our lifetime, in our lifetime. It was the least watched NBA.
Yeah, because that was, what, November?
It was October, basically the second week of October and the third week of October. And it was a good series. It went 6 games. It was crazy that Miami was able to get there. Jimmy Butler was putting up these monster performances. LeBron James was prominently involved, and no one cared. I went and looked. That Sunday night, it was game 3, I think, of the NBA Finals. That Sunday night was Sunday Night Football, and it was the 49ers against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Sunday Night Football, I should say, the NBA Finals got like 5 million. Sunday Night Football got 16 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Against the NBA Finals, regular season NFL game in a COVID year with probably no fans. I don't remember what it would probably, certainly no fans if it was in San Francisco.
I agree with Bomani. Like, they still count. Like, you know, I'm not taking away trophies, but they are not like, when it's all said and done with LeBron, it's like that championship does not touch the two in Miami or the one in
not
Cleveland.
Not even close.
If Shane Bieber wins a Cy Young Award with the Toronto Blue Jays next year, it's going to be more than the 60-game Cy Young Award that he won with the Cleveland Guardians. It's just at that time, the Indians. It's just that simple, guys. And I got no problem admitting that, and I don't think anybody else does. So maybe Shane Bieber's bothered by that and wants to go out and win a legitimate Cy Young, or excuse me, what he may consider the more legitimate Cy Young, but a Cy Young's a Cy Young, but it is a 60-game Cy Young. And I think that baseball, where they do keep their meticulous stats, yeah, there's always going to be a season shortened because of the pandemic. Just like when there was, if there's a strike shortened season in baseball coming up in a couple of years, and boy, what would you do if the Guardians won the World Series and you heard people say something like that? I think you'd be pretty upset to hear that.
You know, I thought about that.
You'd be very upset to hear that.
I thought we did a topic once about what if that was the World Series title.
We probably did that during the pandemic.
A pandemic COVID title on a shortened season.
It counts, but there's always going to be a little bit
of
an
asterisk. You just feel like, man, if you're going to have one, that's not the one you want.
But I thought the bubble might have made it more difficult. Because when you are completely shut away, I think it didn't level the playing field. It just made LeBron better. Because I think you're able to clear the space and focus on your talent more. And if the most talented player in the NBA is LeBron and he's in a bubble, he's going to be able to beat everybody.
And mentally, he's so far ahead of those guys. And you could tell the Clippers, if you remember famously, wanted nothing to do with the bubble. You remember Kyrie said, I refuse to go in the bubble. I'm not even going to take part in that. So you had players that were like, all right, okay, I guess we lose. Now I get freedom again. Because we'd already been in a pandemic.
Yep.
You already had a bunch of safeguards depending on where you lived. Most of these guys live in California when they're not, you know, with their teams. And then they go into this bubble and it's even more secure. You can't get your friends to come see you. Some tried. Your groupies, you can't really go. You didn't have that same experience.
Allegedly.
Yeah. So what a weird time. Well, we were just so starved for anything sports after 120 days where there were no sports on the calendar.
There's a lot of stuff about that time I've just cut out of my memory.
Yeah.
There's some people, they remember every single thing, and there's just so much about that time where...
That'll just make you angry.
We would be on the phone, you and I, talking about it, and bizarre incident after bizarre incident. Like, I'm talking bubble stuff. Like, when you talk about the Clippers, I remember that conversation. Like, they're still deciding whether or not they're going to play and everything that was going on at that time. And I remember us just like, it was just, we didn't know what to do from day to day with it. And then we're wondering whether or not you're going to get an NFL season in. While this is all going on.
Yeah, the Big Ten was out, and then they came back in.
I'm saying, oh, God, yeah. Like, remember, like, I forgot all of it. I forgot all of it because I didn't want to live it. Yeah. I didn't want to live it. And now it seems like that might as well have been 100 years ago. It might as well have been 100 years ago, or maybe that it never even happened. I mean, it's just such a bizarre time. That I don't even want to go down memory lane about it. I do not want to do that. Get me away from 2020. Get me to something else. Get me to anything else.
Doing interviews where I was repeating Ken's questions as I was falling asleep.
I did that to you a couple weeks ago with Zach. And I felt like an idiot. I felt like a very sad, lazy, pathetic individual. A person that eats Twinkies, according to a guy on the internet.
If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about, golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.